Orchestra mit Symmetry, abgespielt auf Flux FM. Now, you guys are both multi-instrumentalists. You both know how to work your way around synthesizers.
Yeah.
You both know how to make a beat.
Yeah. Yeah.
How was working together for the first time? Was it like, oh, I have this beautiful chord progression. Can you think of a nice bass drum sound that fits?
Yeah.
Or is it? Did you work on your own and then showed stuff
well,
to the other guy?
Considering how close we lived to each other,
yeah,
a lot of it was done online, which is
really
just kind of
shocking.
And it would take maybe 4 or 5 sessions of bouncing things back and forth.
Yeah.
We were like, I think I might call over. You know, it's like 5 minute walk.
Okay.
Then you finally see each other face to face.
Yeah.
And then that just made the tidying up or the arranging process much faster then if you're beside each other.
Yeah.
It's easier just to talk it through.
Yeah.
But a lot of the ideas, they were just bounced back
and forth. Yeah, but the tidying up part can be the hardest part, right?
Yeah,
you have to kill all your darlings.
Yeah, there's a lot of there was a lot of sound design on modular synths and stuff, but we both have upright pianos as well. So there was a lot of testing of sounds and getting the sound palette right. So we probably spent quite a long time getting it to sound coherent through the album.
Okay,
But writing, I think we're both fast writers, aren't we? Because essentially the whole album was wrote and recorded in about 6 months.
Okay, wow.
But the show was probably over a year to make.
Yeah. Well, it was an intense 6 months.
Yeah.
Remember, it was every day.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm thinking back on it now. It was a lot of.
I was just thinking maybe one of the guys turned up the music in his studio so loud that the other guy could hear it. And be like, no, I don't like it like that. But you basically said stuff to each other.
Yeah,
that's funny, though.
Yeah.
No, it's really funny.
We were like, it was, as Owen says, it was really intense and labor intensive, wasn't it? But it had to be.
Yeah.
When you get into the zone, I think you're terrified to break that because you get a sound then and you know what the sound is.
Yeah.
And you're terrified to even take a break of a couple of days because then you're off it and the scent goes a different way. And we were super, we just wanted to make sure that the sound palette was very precise and it didn't have a million different types of sounds.
Yeah.
But even though we have a million different synthesizers and various tools that we can play with, we were quite critical with,
sometimes it's easier to reduce the stuff that you have in the studio, right? And then go for a recording than if you have everything on the tip of your fingers. It's like, which synthy sound do I use?
There's
too many possibilities.
I tend to find a lot of the really young producers, they have these laptops filled of hundreds of sounds.
Yeah.
They just spend hours every day getting lost and all these. They never make anything.
Yeah.
Just like, try and sounds.
Like you think you've got
and then as soon as they made something, it's like, oh, I know all these sounds of native instruments.
Yeah, exactly.
I've used them myself. So it's a good reason for analog gear.
Yeah, but that's it.
You do end up with, a £3,000 or €3,000 synthesizer that only makes one sound.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you're terrified to go down the rabbit hole that is all the other potential sounds that it can do.
Yeah. I think that's
that just does bass. Yeah. That just does lead.
I love it though.
There's quite a lot of the modular stuff was like that, wasn't it? It was just like it would just do one swell noise.
Yep.
And it probably cost thousands of pounds. And it was like, don't touch that patch for 6 months.
Yeah. Because it will destroy the sound that I've thought of 6 months ago.
Yeah.
That's the beauty again.
Yeah.
They have their own life. Sometimes you kind of adjust the whole thing for hours and you want to record something the next morning and the thing goes.
That's it.
And that's something that
call it fate or whatever. Let's build it again and better.
There's something in there that's good for the art, I think.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't talked about the visual part of the whole thing. You just said that making the music took 6 months, but then it took a year to think of the whole show concept and to film stuff.
Yeah.
You used drones to film the area around the border.
Yeah, so basically we decided to just... Yeah, Owen is an amazing cinematographer and had a hobby for years of building drones.
You built the drone yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So I found that it was a lot cheaper to build them than it was to buy them. I was looking at drones that were £2,000, quite expensive.
One day he's going to say to you I've built that rocket because it was much more expensive to buy them.
Dangerous
to the moon.
YouTube is a fantastic place. There's a lot of stuff.
Did you learn how to build a drone via YouTube?
From YouTube.
Wow.
I learned how to do everything on YouTube. I spend hours every single evening just on YouTube.
Okay.
Seriously, it's my biggest go-to tools.
No, it's good. It's a good thing.
I'm obsessed with
it. As soon as I want to learn a jazz classic on the guitar, I'll go to YouTube too.
Yeah.
And all it's like 5 minutes, and you go, fly me to the moon.
Oh, that's incredible.
That's it. And you think the amount of money people used to spend on like lessons and stuff, and now it's like it's all available. It's crazy.
Okay, so you built the drone, and then you decided to put a visual layer on top of the whole work.
Yeah, Ryan described it from the outset as, let's soundtrack the border. That was kind of the overall sound.
That's what we were writing.
That was the goal, what the music would be like. And then we thought, well, for the visual side, we're going to try and tell the story of what the actual border means to us and how it's not these boring queues of traffic and it's not this arm that lifts up and down and lets people through. If you just go 1 or 2 miles off that track, you start to see, I suppose it ended up actually becoming natural borders, things like the line of a forest where a forest meets a road, or where a beach meets the land, or a mountain meets a valley, you know, those kind of things. And they were the only true borders, really.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to just highlight the beauty of the area that we live in. And just to show, just like what Ryan was saying, that the beauty crosses over the lines and doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
It's invisible. These they're just man-made lines on a map.
That you can't see.
That you can't see. And when you zoom out and you look a little higher, you realize, in fact, if you zoom out all the way and look from the ISS, the International Space Station, you see that the entire planet is borderless, essentially.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the beauty of it. And that's exactly when you see that there's clouds and then there's stuff that are happening on the nature side of the planet. They don't care about borders at all. No. If there's a lightning storm that's happening, it's going to happen in England soon if it was in Ireland and the wind came from the north.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Exactly.
That's the concept, that's what the visuals are used for, just to try and show that beauty.
And you're going to incorporate the visuals into your show tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
So the show's kind of like almost like a huge journey to probably our favorite places in Ireland that are located by the border. And kind of tackles a lot of the troubled areas that there's a lot of fights over. Like the city we live in, Derry, has the River Foyle, which kind of runs across the border into the south of Ireland. But the Queen of England actually owns the river.
Uh-huh.
So you have a lot of businesses located on the river that don't pay any taxes to south of Ireland. So there's a lot of kind of these really weird areas in Ireland. And we've kind of tackled a lot of those and showed them via this show. So
not to forget that they were going to put a nuclear submarine
recently
in that river.
Oh, okay.
You know, the I'm talking about the guys in London.
Yeah.
Thought, where will we keep that incredibly dangerous machine.
Yeah.
Oh, I know. There's a river up in the north of Ireland.
But the Queen owns.
That nobody really knew. And of course, there was a huge uproar and it hasn't happened, but it happens in Scotland. You know, places, beautiful places in Scotland that have these nuclear submarines.
Wow. I didn't know about that. That's crazy.
There, you know.
Yeah.
So
you jump into the river and it goes boink. And you hit your head with an atomic submarine.
Break your 2 feet.
Oh, man. Sorry for the bad jokes about it. Actually, earnest topic. Yeah. Now, I want to tell people about the festival tonight. There's going to be a few more nice musical things happening. Candice Gordon is going to happen. Ewald is going to play. Sophia Portinet, Ryan Vale and Elma Orchestra, obviously. Melty Brains, Dowry, Kennedy and Gurr is a German band made of two incredible female songwriters. You're going to listen to them, you're going to love them.
Yeah,
it's like
awesome.
Really nice.
Excited to hear them.
Guitar music. Dermo Kennedy habe ich hier zum Schluss nochmal auf dem Plattenteller und wir empfehlen ausnahmsweise heute auch mal Fernsehen zu gucken. Um 19 Uhr überträgt Arte quasi die komplette Show aus dem Fluxbau. You're going to be on telly tonight, right? I mean, the whole thing, other voices, is it like a television show in Ireland as well?
Yeah, well, I think it was split between the two countries. So we'd on the Irish side of it. So we're not on the television tonight.
Okay.
But I think Dermot Kennedy and
I think last week it was us and Snow Patrol and Roe, which is another artist, and this week it's Dermot Kennedy and Lisa Hannigan.
Okay. But we'll stay in contact and we'll meet again, I have a good feeling.
Yeah.
And we can give away some tickets for tonight's show. Das sind die letzten Tickets fürs Elder Voices Festival, die überhaupt existieren. Das Ding ist ausverkauft. Wie gesagt, auf Arte Konzert ab 19 Uhr mal drauf gucken. Da werden nicht alle Konzerte, aber fast alle übertragen. Und wer noch hingehen möchte in den Fluxbau zum Other Voices Festival, der ruft jetzt an unter 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000, das ist die Nummer zum Glück, wir haben die letzten, die wirklich allerletzten Tickets fürs Other Voices Festival heute Abend im Fluxbau. Ryan, Owen, vielen Dank. Thank you guys for coming.
Thank you very much.
I wish you the best of luck for your next moves. And as soon as you've recorded more stuff, send it to us.
We will do.
And then we'll meet again. Awesome. Have fun. Bye-bye. Thank you for visiting. Bye. Und hier zum Abschluss Dermot Kennedy nochmal mit dem Stückchen Power Over Me.